Anybody else? Yes.
Well, if Artie Kornfeld had made it, how do you think the conversation might have gone? I mean, what were you planning on talking about with him?
Oh, Artie? It's funny because Artie's... Now, Artie was involved with some rock festival earlier this year, and he was supposed to be up here about this time, but he couldn't make it. Artie was on the West Coast and the East Coast at the same time. He was so involved in the music business hustle that he was, he was out in 1964 working on Dead Man's Curve with Janet Dean and Brian Wilson, and he was part of that songwriting thing, and he learned a lot, you know, from Brian Wilson. And then he came back here and he made a record with the Cowsills, The Rain, the Park, and the other things by the Cowsills, and We Can Fly, which are really great records, and they're bubblegum records, right? And so the guy, ultimately it's funny because the guy who booked Woodstock, right, was making bubblegum records that sounded like these poppy LA things, you know? And we were gonna kind of get talking about that because, you know, Woodstock is supposed to be so serious and important and all this stuff. But in reality, Woodstock was kind of like an imitation of Monterey Pop, which I should get into because the Monterey Pop Festival was booked in Los Angeles because the Sunset Strip riots had closed the LA club scene. I mean, one after another, like they were all closed in one day. On a Monday after the second weekend after the riot, there was a special meeting of all the businessmen and all the pigs, man, other people, you know, in city government, the county supervisor. They all came together, you know, and said, that's it. And they revoked the licenses of all these clubs and psh, they were dashed. And there was an organization called CAF, Citizens Action for Facts and Freedom. And CAF basically was formed to pay the bills, the lawyer bills for all these kids who were getting busted. From the time of the Velvet Underground show in May of 1966, all the way to the end of 1966, kids just kept on getting busted and hauled off downtown. And there was all these legal fees that needed to be paid. And so that's how CAF kind of got going. But ultimately, they organized this sit-in demonstration at Pandora's Box, this club, one of the clubs that was most threatened to be closed. And after the new year started, they created this thing called the CAF benefit to help pay for some of the problems that had happened on the Sunset Strip during the Sunset Strip riots. And the CAF benefit had a bunch of speakers. Elliot Mintz was one of them. He was at Pacifica Radio then, and we're writing for the Free Press. Some of the Free Press writers, ACLU people were there. But the groups were, the Doors were the opening act. Hugh Masekela, the jazz trumpeter from South Africa who was involved with the Birds and a bunch of other people, he was on the bill. The Buffalo Springfield were on the bill. The Birds were on the bill. And Peter Palmieri headlined. And that was in February of 1967. And that went so well that the people who organized that, and it's a long list, ended up becoming the very people who organized the Monterey Pop Festival. So now here it is, it's the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love, and everybody's talking about San Francisco and all the big tie-dye shirts and this exploitation stuff. I think kind of minimalizes the importance of what happened in the 60s in a big way, because it's all about sex, it's all about drugs, and it's all about rock and roll. But it really, you know, when you start getting into that psychedelic phase of the later 60s, it ends up becoming decadent, you know? And, you know, Monterey Pop was the moment where they said, this is the Summer of Love. This is the big pop festival of the 60s. Woodstock just happens to be an imitation of it, because the same headliners, Jimi Hendrix, The Who, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were the Birds and Springfield. So most of the same headliners, even the Grateful Dead, were part of the Monterey Pop Festival. And so Woodstock's this extension of Monterey Pop. But in reality, the San Francisco scene, as we know with Death of Hippie, it happened in August or October or whatever of 1967. The hippie scene was considered too decadent and too weird even then. And some of the drugs that started coming around were really, really, really bad. They, you know, started PCP, started coming in, all kinds of weird, you know, they remember speed kills and all that stuff. And that pretty much, you know, put the kibosh on the activist sentiment that we were talking about with Dialogue on Vietnam earlier, you know. The LA scene was really a lot more activist than the San Francisco scene. The Ken Kesey people, as a matter of fact, were considered sort of detractions to the more activist sentiment that was happening with the Ferris Gallery artists and all that kind of thing. So I mean, I have a completely different perspective of the 60s than what's out there, because I think that nostalgic version of it kind of clouds the more activist vibe that it started out to be. And then, you know, fortunately there were other people that kept on being activists, and things happened. Like, I think the Watergate scandal came out of that whole activist sentiment, you know, and so, you know, good things did happen. But also a lot of it got, now in retrospect, it becomes quaint when you start looking at all this tie-dye and stuff. It just, the activist sentiment really becomes quaint. Oh, isn't that, weren't they silly? They thought they could change the world. But, you know, I think we have a rise now back, especially, I mean, and strangely enough, I think it's all coming through comedians. We have, I think we just, and also MoveOn.org, so activist sentiment has actually come back really strong in the last few years. So, you know, hopefully that can keep on going, you know.